G'day and welcome to Talking Leadership. This is Eric Perez welcoming you back to our ongoing podcast series around emerging leaders. And today's guest definitely fits into that category. So by way of background, she was formerly with the ECHA, and that's the Royal National Agricultural and Industrial Association of Queensland, as a competition and events coordinator as part of an education team. And she is currently an agricultural teacher with the Queensland Department of Education. So can I welcome to the podcast Courtney Bailey. How are you, Courtney?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate your time. So let's straight into the podcast questions if we can. First up, why lead? Why take on a leadership role, or what is it about leadership that's interested you, mate?
Leadership has a lot of exciting opportunities within it. As an agriculture teacher in a school, you can lead students to fulfill their potential. You can lead communities to, reach new heights and explore exciting frontiers within agriculture. And I guess within a city scope, we can look at new ways to explore agriculture and educate in agriculture in ways that people probably haven't looked at before. I'm currently a recipient of the AgriFutures Horizon Scholarship, so that's allowing me to look at leadership in a whole new light and learn a little bit more about it, so I'm excited about that as well.
What is it you're going to be looking at in particular? Can you share that with us?
So I'm currently studying psychology in addition to teaching full-time. So the Horizon Scholarship is supporting me through my final 2 years of study, and they're going to be providing me mentorship through that study. And that mentorship is particularly targeted at developing my leadership capacity in agriculture and in the fields of agriculture that I'm interested in, which is obviously agricultural education.
Do you plan to take that to the next level, as in you're going to stay in the teaching arena, or you're going to move outside of that with ag education as your background?
I'm very, very passionate about teaching, so I don't see myself leaving it anytime soon. But obviously, with all of this extra knowledge, I'm looking to share it with the community. I'm particularly interested in looking at how agricultural education shapes a community and the positive impacts that it can have on communities, in particular students, and how it can positively impact students. So I guess that's where my next steps will take me with this study.
So from your perspective, Courtney, what would be, in your mind, the most critical leader capabilities that you've been exposed to?
I guess through my teaching journey and my professional journey, the leadership capability that I've most looked for and seen in my students they've most needed is communication and listening. I find that a lot of leaders that communicate well, particularly responsive to their workers' needs and their colleagues' needs, and their teams are really cohesive, and that translates into a really cohesive classroom situation as well. And that, to me, is probably the most powerful tool that I try to translate in my leadership in a classroom and outside of a classroom.
Let me ask you then, as a series of smaller follow-up questions to those capabilities, what are your thoughts from an emerging leader perspective of the following leadership capabilities? So strategic thinking?
Strategic thinking obviously is incredibly important for a business sense. It's really good to see people embracing emerging leaders, especially within the scope of something like this AgriFutures Horizon Scholarship, because it means that businesses and agribusinesses are quite happy to have new young talent come in. And that, to me, says that people have a growth mindset, which to me, again, is quite cohesive with a strategic thinking culture within a business. I do think, though, that sometimes businesses need to be careful, and teachers as well. I will always go back to a classroom context because that's where I'm working at the moment. We sometimes do get stuck a little bit within strategy and possibly don't think about the wider context of how it will work within the current employment situation that we have, within the current workers that we have, and possibly don't communicate it particularly well. So strategic thinking is exceptionally important, but we need to go back to the other pillars of the business and think, wow, is it going to fit? How will it fit? And is it a good fit for my core business?
No, that's great. And thank you for your insight. I mean, getting out of that school context into the world of work, I guess, is two very different arenas. So it seems like you've got a foot in both camps, which is quite an interesting way to develop your skill sets as a leader, because you'll see leadership from two very different perspectives. So that's quite an interesting mix there. So you mentioned communication. So the next one I might ask you about is foresight. So what are your thoughts on that? And by foresight, I mean, because I've been asked this before, and by foresight, I mean imagining or thinking possible different futures for yourself or your organization, or in your context, maybe the kids that you're educating.
One of my mentors used to say, fail to plan to fail. In this current situation, it's quite hard to think of any way that anyone could have possibly thought of what would be happening right now and where we would be right now on lockdown with all of these restrictions around us, with the current COVID situation as it is. Foresight is obviously incredibly important from a professional sense, and having a look at yourself and where you should sit within your career, mapping your career, but having some flexibility in terms of taking up opportunities where they come, but knowing that you've got an end goal. So trying not to deviate too far from your path, but also within a business sense of where do I see my business 3, 5, 10 years from now is obviously fundamental within any business. And then within a classroom sense, I try to get my kids thinking about the future, sometimes harder as sometimes easier. These kids do struggle sometimes in thinking about the future, and then some of them stress too much about the future. But the idea that they want something and they need to know how to get it is a skill that I try to develop with them. But the other skill, I guess, is understanding that sometimes that train will derail, and having the ability to be lithe and flexible. And I guess that's what my students are learning, and I guess all of us are learning at the moment, is how we're going to keep running our businesses, keep running our classrooms, and keep running our personal lives.
What do you think emerging leaders bring to the table that established leaders don't?
Obviously, from my own selfish perspective, I'd say that emerging leaders are the best and everyone should hire them. But possibly not always the case. Not as experienced, might not be somebody that can come in and fix a business, but they're certainly more agile and resilient to change in general, and certainly bring new ideas and reinvigorate businesses in general. You generally will see a growth mindset in emerging leaders and quite hard work ethic and need to prove themselves. So when I look at mentoring my students, and when I think about myself as an emerging leader, I think about what skills we're bringing in the 21st century as well into new businesses, and what skills we can train into businesses. And that certainly within my students' context is a lot of computing skills that possibly businesses didn't have in the past. And that's certainly something that businesses should be looking for and appreciating in their young people.
You alluded to this topic area that I'd like to move to now, if that's okay, Courtney, is leader development. You mentioned that you've got the scholarship. Did you say scholarship or sponsorship?
It's a scholarship.
Outside of that, do other courses? Are you doing things outside of your formal studies to help advance in your career as a teacher? And I'm not asking that to be a smart aleck, because I do know that teachers have professional development that you have to do each year. But do you go over and above that, or is that enough to keep you occupied for your time as a teacher?
I generally try and get as much industry-based experience in as possible. So obviously you did mention that teachers have a certain number of hours of professional development that they need to fulfill every year, and that I devote to pedagogy, so how to teach effectively. And then I try to get in industry hours, because teaching in agriculture, obviously the industry is changing year to year. Our technologies are developing so quickly, and I want to remain relevant for the students' sake. So I take up as many opportunities as possible through that. I became involved with the Australian Women in Agriculture through their conference last year, and I'm part of their youth group now, and that to me has been incredibly valuable. They push a lot of content through to us, and the girls in the youth group are incredibly supportive in basically providing peer mentorship, as well as providing us avenues in finding professional development if we so choose to look for it. In addition to that, obviously they take us on tours, for industry tours, and there's talks and conferences if we so choose to go.
In connection to that last question, what's your view, Courtney, on this thing called lifelong learning? Is that something you subscribe to, not really interested? Is that just, is it an integral part of what you do as a teacher?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Look, I'm on my second degree, so for me not to prescribe to lifelong learning, I'd be a liar. I think it's absolutely essential that we continue to learn, and I think that information is changing at such a rapid pace that we need to keep up. So it's very important that we are learning all the time.
Courtney, you've mentioned a few times, and I'm more than a little interested in this, about mentoring. You mentioned it about a mentor that you had that gave you some good advice, and then women's professional group that you're in. Have you had lots of mentors, and have those arrangements been more formal or more informal?
Yeah, so I've had several mentors, most of them informal, in teaching formal, because that's the way that it's set up. It's very formalized within the teaching context. But within, I guess, my industry dealings, I've had, and my university studies, several informal type mentors, whether it be a boss or a university lecturer. I basically probably annoy people and try to pick up as much information from them as possible. And most of the time they're amenable to that, which is very kind of them. I had probably several people that I've learned quite a bit from. The first would be my first boss, Peter Wilson. I used to work as a commodities trading company in Toowoomba. And he taught me quite a bit about communication, thinking on your feet, basically juggling 30 balls that were all on fire at one time, and how to deal with that. He always had time for people, and there were so many lessons that you could take from him. It was amazing. University lecturer I had that was particularly influential was Phil Curry at the University of Queensland. Yeah, two very influential mentors for me.
From whom do you think you've drawn the most in helping your approach to leadership? I'm interested to find out, have any of them shaped what your thinking is around leadership at all?
Those two people I've just mentioned certainly did. And then I guess my formal teaching mentors as well. I guess when you look at a teaching construct of a leader, it's got a lot of parallels to what a business leader should look like. So there's been one particular teaching mentor that I've had, and she's been very, very strong, huge advocate for student rights, huge advocate for teacher rights, and really, really calm and collected under pressure. Again, that communication has been a really strong point for her, and she's something that I never will be, which is incredibly organized. So I look at her and think, wow, that's something that I could pick up as a skill. And so I've really tried to take those strong points from her and utilize those as best as I can.
We're here at the last question, and this one's going to be a doozy. So I'm interested to hear what you've got to say about this one. Leaders are born, not made.
I disagree.
That's okay. You can disagree. So next question then, why do you disagree?
Well, if you were born a leader, then you would never have to try to become a leader. So you would have no view on lifelong learning, would you?
Okay, fair enough. There you go.
Yeah, people have the capacity to learn, people have the capacity to change, and people have the capacity to grow. So you just need to give them the right tools and ingredients to make that happen.
Mate, that's an exceptionally positive way to end the podcast. So, look, Courtney, thank you for your time.
No problems. Thanks for having me.
Been a pleasure, mate. And for those listening, I'll catch you all in the next podcast.